Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Jonathan Fagan of the Houston Chronicle just posted this little bit of news. I think it's news. I hadn't seen it anywhere yet, but James Harden is not going to play for Team USA this go-around. He is going to opt instead to focus on the Houston Rockets.
Love it.
What with his Supermax kicking in and what with the Russell Westbrook trade and maybe a little bit of focus on trying to acclimate himself to what's going to be maybe a new dynamic this year. I am in favor of James Harden's decision to not represent our country, Team USA. This does not make him un-American. This does not make him, a lack of patriotism is not at play here. This is a man who's getting paid to do a job, and that job is a $30 to $40 to $45 million job, and that job is not to play for Team USA. It's to play for the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, you got to do things a little bit differently to get a different result. You know, I mean, I think that's what this boils down to is you got a guy that got his buddies, long term childhood buddy, in the locker room now, and things need to change, and things need to change quickly. I mean, to me, it's one of those you're getting older and you're getting up. You're not a rookie anymore. You're not a youngster anymore. The tread on the tires, that mileage that you're racking up with playing into the playoffs, those things got to take. He's got to feel them, right? I mean, you've got to feel those kinds of miles that you consistently put on. So, to me, it's a great decision. I've always been concerned about players for teams that I was rooting for or was a fan of playing outside of that season, because if they go down, it's a bad look.
I don't like my
high dollar guys playing in the off season in competitive ball.
I almost think, Clint, we're heading to an era in basketball. It's already hard enough to get these guys to play in the amount of regular season games that fans are used to seeing them in.
Right.
Load management. Kawhi Leonard playing 60 games this year and then going on to win a championship. People say, well, he had fresh legs, and he did. But even Kawhi was a little banged up at times during the finals. I think the counter to that is people would say, well, imagine if he had played 78 games instead of 60 games, how banged up he might have been. I think it's going to be really hard for Team USA to start to get – it's going to be really hard to get them to get star players – to play for them in the era that the NBA is now moving into with respect to load management. If you can't get guys to play the full allotment of games that they're contractually getting paid to go play, then it's really hard to get them to go play in a bunch of games, to your point, internationally, traveling the globe, that's not tied to their major income.
The scary part of it, because somebody will counter that point with, well, they're going to play basketball regardless. When you add the competitive element to something, then the risk of injury, the risk or the likelihood of a guy going into a game and maybe playing with a little bit of a tweak, where if he were playing street ball or working out in the gym, or he would not play that day, he would not even dribble a basketball that day. He's going to go take the floor with his team, and so those two things, man, when that competitive edge is added, the risk of injury. The want to, the mileage, the wear and tear you put on your body when you add competition to the equation skyrockets. And so for me, every time I hear, especially a Rocket that says I'm not playing in the offseason, I don't care where it's for, I salute the guy. At no way, shape, or form does it bother me that he's not going to go play for the country.
We're live at Little Woodrow's in Midtown. Rick Kamla, who's going to be Clint's new co-host, if you haven't heard that bit of news yet, I'll be moving to mornings with Seth Payne. Starting on Monday here on Sports Radio 610. And Clint is going to be taking over this afternoon time slot with Rick Kamla who a lot of NBA fans know from his time on the studio show on NBA TV. But he's, as you've alluded to or mentioned throughout the show today, Clint, he's one of the pioneers of fantasy radio and TV programming. He's been very successful on the radio in Atlanta over the last few years, and he's moved to Houston, and he's making Houston his home, and he's making the Houston teams his hometown teams, and he's making his radio home here at Sports Radio 610 with you in afternoons. So this is my last Little Woodrow show. From, you know, I change from sipping vodka soda clandestinely during the 5 o'clock hour of these shows to sipping on coffee with Seth Payne in the morning, getting ready for 6 a.m.
You can find you a little something to add to that coffee.
You bring you a little Bailey's maybe or something.
Yeah. Why not, man? But yeah, you mentioned Rick Kamla, who's joining, and you mentioned all of his years of experience in the covering the NFL and working with NBA TV, and you know, it's here's what's really cool, Houston, is that I feel like the station, the guys at the station, we do a far better job with all the Texans inside access that we have. We do a hell of a job covering the Texans. I mean, you're not going to get the Texans talked the way you're going to get it on Sports Radio 610, period. And now you're adding a guy that's super dynamic on every aspect of or every sport in the city, but you're bringing a guy to the table that has that NBA experience at a point in time when the Rockets are at a level to where they're super, super interesting and they're on the cutting edge and on the cusp of becoming of winning a championship, and you've got a guy that can break them, their competition, the superstars, the duos, can break that all down at a level that, again, you just quite frankly can't get anywhere else in the city. So it's one of those things where I am absolutely stoked about the future. I'm absolutely stoked about sitting next to Rick from now moving, I guess starting Monday moving forward from 2 to 6 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, absolutely. And to that end, Rick Kamla will be out here in about an hour. He's going to hang out with us for the back end of the show here. He's going to join us out here at about 4:35 and hang out at Little Woodrow. So if you're looking for a place to come hang out this afternoon, swing by here at Little Woodrow's in Midtown.
And it's his birthday.
Yeah, no, and that's the other thing. I'm glad you mentioned that. We're going to get him wasted between 4:35
yes.
and 6 o'clock. He's going to need to Uber all the way back out to Katie.
Hey, look, he brings a juice now. I call it the Kamla, the Kamla juice now. He brings that naturally, the Kamla juice, just a juice to the show, the energy effort. No. He's got his own drink now.
Okay.
We'll let him introduce that to the city. But I call it the Kamla juice. He brings it. He brings the energy and the effort. Listen to Rack right there. He brings the energy and effort. My point is he brings it naturally. I don't know that we need any pops involved at this point.
It's his birthday. That's all I'm saying. I wouldn't. It's not hazing. It's not like we're gonna get him drunk and then pull his underwear over his head.
Yeah, but
it's his birthday. This is what you do to celebrate birthdays.
I can't get the
subject matter bombed if he drinks.
Ooh, we better hurry up. Let him join the show at 5:55.
No, 4:35. Let's make this thing happen. All right. Are you a fan of the work of Dan Orlovsky on ESPN?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
if you're not, you got some serious issues. Like, you may not like him or his voice or the way he looks, or you may not like something about the dude, but if you can't appreciate the work, then hell, I can't even have a conversation about football with you.
Yeah, he's good. He's a former Texan. He was a backup here for a couple of years. He's a friend of this show. We've had him on a number of times. He's my Connecticut homeboy. He and I both grew up in the hard scrabble streets of Connecticut, USA. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's from Shelton, and I'm from the mean streets of Simsbury. He's from the mean streets of Shelton. So we're both part of the Mean Street Posse. But he does great work on ESPN. That said, I don't know that I agree with the take that he had earlier today on ESPN. They did a video. I saw a video. He did a segment this morning on ESPN, where he talked about the top five quarterbacks in the NFL 5 years from now.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you right now, just before we jump into this segment, I am so happy to be living in a city where the quarterback on our football team is involved in conversations like this. We'll get to where Dan put Deshaun Watson in just a second. But having lived through the Matt Schaub years and the Ryan Fitzpatrick year and Ryan Mallett and Brian Hoyer and Brock Osweiler and Tom Savage, it is so fun to have a quarterback to where you watch a segment like this and you go, okay, where's our guy? Where's our guy?
Where's he going to fall? Is he going to make it?
Top five quarterback. Yeah. I mean, but and even if he didn't fall in there, just the excitement of having a guy who could be involved in those conversations.
Yeah.
Now, me personally.
Boy, how your quarterback conversations have changed over the years.
Oh, you got that right, son. You got that right.
Hey, I'd have had a hard time being nice to some of them in your past anyway. Ooh-wee, it would have been tough doing radio in the last about 10 years of Texas
know,
now.
I know. And they're probably all good guys. That's the thing, too. You know?
I'm sure they are. But I'd like to, and this thing, I know it's not where you're going with this segment, but I'd like to at some point have a round table with guys like you that have covered it, covered the Texans and been in and around the team and those guys and just really get to know the essentially the it factor. I mean, can you tell when a guy has that it factor? I can. I mean, not just based off the play, but when he walks in a room, you can tell. I just wonder if that's the case. How many of those guys throughout the Texans years were really – it factor type players.
Or you get in the huddle and you feel like this guy's got
this. They make you better. He's got the respect of the entire team, or is he just a guy that's throwing on a jersey and we're going to rent him for a year or two?
So Dan Orlovsky ranked the top five quarterbacks, in his opinion, 5 years from now. The first two, I'm going to go one through five here. The first two I guess, great umbrage with, so we don't need to toss the audio, but I do want to get your thoughts. He has Mahomes 1 and Wentz 2. Are you okay with those two?
Yeah, I'm okay with it. You know, I pumped the brakes on Wentz a little bit, and it's not because he's not been great. I think only a fool would say that he doesn't play at a very high level. But the two things that I think everybody knows with him is obviously the injury history, and then the fact that Nick Foles jumped in and won a Super Bowl with his team, took him back to the playoffs again this past year, and if it wasn't for a drop ball, maybe would have made a deeper run. So the backup quarterback had a ton of success. So I think it's our human nature to go, is it really Wentz, or is the team around that guy that good? Is Peterson that good? So I don't know if two's right, but there's no debating he's in the top five years from now.
For sure. And Mahomes at one, you're cool with that?
Yeah, there ain't no arguing that, man.
All right, here is who Dan Orlovsky had third on his list of top five quarterbacks 5 years from now.
Number three is Baker Mayfield.
Wow.
Because Baker's got the personality, we only focus on that. What he did at Oklahoma, 33-6. He's the only guy in the history of the Heisman Trophy to finish in the top four of voting 3 years in a row. He goes to an incredibly poor situation in Cleveland in his first year, ties Peyton Manning and Russell Wilson's rookie touchdown passing record. This kid has got an incredibly bright future. He'll be one of the best.
Dude, I'm so tired of Baker Mayfield this offseason. I have such Baker fatigue right now, of Baker making all his little snippy comments about anybody, anything, asks him about the Browns being the favorites in the AFC North. They were 7-8-1 last year. People are acting like they went 12-4. I'm so tired of Baker, and I'm so tired of the Browns. The part that I'm most sad about is I think it's going to ultimately affect my friendship with Cecil Shorts, because he's a Cleveland Browns fan, and I love Cecil Shorts. But I feel like at some point I'm just going to go so far off the reservation when it comes to Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns that nobody from Cleveland's going to like what I have to say about any of this. That's my opinion on Baker Mayfield being third on this list. What's yours, Clint?
Well, you clearly don't like the guy. I mean, but because the
I liked him in college, fine. It's the Browns version that I hate.
I mean, what has he done since he got – I mean, he did more in college for people to dislike than he has in the NFL. Now
because I respected the double walk-on thing in college. Now he's a number one overall pick.
He's still the double walk-on, baby. He's just still shocking the world. That's all. I mean, look, I'm a big Baker Mayfield fan, clearly. I think Dan Orlovsky did a great job of laying out exactly why this guy is super special. His ability – look, I mean, we need to remember when we're talking about Baker Mayfield, the double walk-on stuff.
Yeah.
Your average everyday dude walking around doesn't walk into two separate locker rooms as a walk-on. I don't know if you've ever been in a locker room where walk-ons typically get put in a different locker room. They get treated – like I would have a hard time if I had a son letting him walk on at a school if it was a true walk-on situation. Not an invited guy, but a true walk-on situation. And much less for a quarterback, a guy that there's only one play, well, only one guy can take the field. This dude did it twice and did it in a huge way and then won everywhere he went. But I've told you from the jump, when the video came out, when he got to Oklahoma and he's dancing in the middle of the team with the ethnic breakdown of a locker room,
sure,
for lack of a better phrase, right? A white guy doing what he was doing and everybody jumping around and loving it and amping him up and getting down with him. You don't just do that if you don't have some it factor and have the ability to relate to people from all walks of life, all creeds and colors. I mean, it's just he is a unique individual, and that's why I'm a huge fan. That's why I believe the Browns will do big things. Now he's got a pretty good group around him.
He
right
does.
Now. They've done a hell of a job. Dorsey's done a hell of a job putting a group around him.
You okay with him at third?
I'm okay with three.
All right. So we haven't heard Deshaun Watson's name yet. Here's who Dan Orlovsky had at number four on his list of top five quarterbacks 5 years from now.
Number four, Jared Goff, which there's going to be some eyebrows raised over that. First of all, Sean McVay's going nowhere. He's going to stay in L.A. All this kid's done in his 2 years as a starter in the NFL is thrown for 60 touchdowns and 8,000-plus yards and taken his team to the Super Bowl. He's got an incredibly bright future. They still have a very young and talented team around him.
Jared Goff at number four, reaction.
This is the one I have a little bit of a problem with.
Yeah.
And there's no – look, we're again, everybody keep in mind, we're having a conversation about the absolute best quarterbacks in the league in the next 5 years.
Sure.
I mean, that's what we're having. Or in 5 years, who will be the top five quarterback?
Yep.
So in no way, shape, or form am I saying he's not a player, not a hell of a player. And he's a winner. There's no doubt about it. But when you talk about these guys, every guy you've mentioned so far, whether you're talking about Mahomes with Reed, Wentz with Peterson, Baker with Kitchens – you've got guys that have not good, but great play callers, cutting-edge schemes. At the end of the day, they're in a scheme offensively where that scheme is a big part of the success. There's no debating it. Like that scheme is next level, and I think you can add Jared Goff in that. In fact, he may be the one that's benefiting from the scheme more than anybody out there.
I agree with that.
I believe that you can plug – one of several, I believe there's 10 to 12 guys, maybe even more than that, probably more than that if you take the greats that are still playing. There's probably 15 to 16 guys in the league, half the NFL, you could plug in the Rams offense with Gurley behind them, with that offensive line, with that defense, and the quarterback is going to have big time success.
All right, the fifth and final quarterback on Dan Orlovsky's list is?
Number five is where there's going to be a lot of back and forth. I'm going to go Deshaun Watson. And I will remind people that before he hurt his knee 2 years ago, he had 19 touchdown passes through his first 7 games. That is a record in the NFL. Again, when you historically do something, you make lists. Last year, threw for 4,000 yards, led the Texans to an 11-5 record. All doing that with one receiver in DeAndre Hopkins and a putridly bad offensive line. So that's why I put him at five.
All right. We're going to carry this into the next segment, Clint, because we're up against it. I want you to give your five in the next segment, but what are your thoughts on Dan's comments about Deshaun Watson there?
Yeah, you know, I think it's accurate, his the way he analyzed it. I don't like where he has him on five. I would have him at two. But for me, it's one of those – it goes back to our conversations about Deshaun Watson from day one,
right.
Sean, right? I mean, less spectacular, more clean, efficient, effortless play – is better play. And I think Dan Orlovsky's a guy that realizes that.
Yeah.
He's on that list because of his ability to make spectacular plays and essentially his college career.
Yeah.
But Dan knows, like, a quarterback is playing high-level football, winning football, takes less shots, it plays cleaner, stays upright, doesn't risk injury as much. So Deshaun on that list, not only do I believe he should be higher, I think even with Dan Orlovsky eventually, he's got a chance to make a huge stride in 1 year.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.